First of all, James and Michelle, I'm sorry for Brett. He got hit in the head while he was away on holidays, and we can't help it. All right, last week we got to hear from Tim. So Andrew's on holidays, so they went to the bench, and they got Tim. He wore a lovely pink shirt. I didn't have any, so I went blue this evening. Then they went to the next guy on the bench. He wasn't available. So they went to the water boy. So here I am. All right, so let's pray as we go into God's Word. Dearly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to meet together tonight, Lord. We cry out to you as we dive into your word now, Lord, that you will speak to us, that you will change us, Lord. And I pray that you will speak through me in my weakness. I pray these things in your name. Amen. All right, so I want to start tonight by telling you a story about a man I met when I used to live in Indonesia. His name was Mare. He was married. He had a one-year-old son. He sat with me to tell me the story of what had happened to him since becoming a follower of Jesus. Now, Mare and his wife had grown up as Hindus in a village, and 12 months earlier, he had become a follower of Jesus. Since that time, his family had kicked him out of the village. They had told all the surrounding villagers not to let them come and live there, and this was because he was no longer praying to the gods of the village. So there was no longer protection for that village. So they kicked him out. They told everyone around them to not let them come and live in their villages. He sat down with his father to tell him that he was now a follower of Jesus. His father picked up a large machete and chased him down the road, trying to kill him. And then the thing that really broke my heart, and yeah, was really close to me at the time, my son was 1 year old and his son was one, that his family had come in the night and taken his son and was hiding him from him and his wife. And this was because Mare was due to be the next high priest in his village. And to secure the protection of their village, they needed the next in line, and that was Mare's son. Now, you would think this man would have been angry, that he would have had enough. His family was gone. He had nowhere to call home. He had almost been killed. And now his son had been taken from him. But no, this man just blew me away with the peace and joy that he had because he knew Jesus. He no longer lived in fear. He was sitting there telling me this story and was just at peace. He was excited that he now knew Jesus, and he wanted to share this with the rest of Indonesia, no matter what the cost. I will never forget that smile on his face when he told me about the love he had for his Savior. So tonight, I want us to ask ourselves, are we living a life that gives expression to the truth that we read here in Romans 5, 1 to 11? I want us to reflect on our own lives as we start the year together. Are we at peace where we are at with our relationship with God? As we head into this new year serving and living for Jesus together, am I full of joy? The fact that I am saved by God's amazing grace. And then finally, what are we going to do with this information? Are we busting at the sides to share this with others so they too can know the great peace and joy that comes through knowing our Savior? So let's dive in verse 1 and 2. It says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God." So in verse 1, it says that we have peace with God through Jesus. What is it to have peace with God? We all seek peace all the time, whether that's praying for peace in our world or seeking peace in our lives. For it's sin that makes that gap between us and God, just like Mare was separated from God. And it is Jesus' death and resurrection and us accepting this great gift that God is offering that we gain peace. And we gain more than peace, don't we? We gain a relationship with God. We gain access to Him. And the greatest gift of all, we gain eternal life. Now, throughout my time preparing to move overseas and many times in my life, I have felt out of control. We had a lot of pressure on us when we were trying to move to Indonesia or trying to decide to take this job. We had some close friends of ours tell us that we were taking the easy way out to move to Indonesia. And the only way that we felt at peace was when we were resting in our relationship with God. It was like when I was sitting with Mate, talking to him, you could just tell the peace he had in his life right at that time, because he knew where he stood with God. He was no longer afraid, and he was resting in that peace that God had given him. Now, how often do we sit and think about the amazing sacrifice Jesus made for us? And are we resting in the peace that that gives us, knowing that you are secure in your relationship with God? Now, we are justified by faith, faith in what God has offered us through Jesus' death and resurrection. And because of that justification, we can now be at peace with God. This is great knowledge to have, but are we just sitting on it? As we start this new year, are we just bursting at the sides to share this knowledge that we are saved through Jesus' death, and that he is risen, and that we have eternal life? In verse 2 it says, the grace of God that we now stand in, this amazing grace. God's grace to us is free, it's undeserved, it's unconditional love that God has given us, no questions asked. We gain access to God because of his grace, because he sent his son for us. And there's nothing that we can do that God will not forgive us. Are we rejoicing in the great grace that God is offering us? I always think of it like every morning I wake up and thank God for the second chance that he gives us, because I am sinful. I need his love. I need his grace. I need Jesus in my life. Even though that we do have this great peace and joy and relationship with God, as we read on in verse 3 and 6, it does start to get a little bit harder to keep that joy. And I'm going to tell you another story, because I'm the youth pastor and I can tell stories and don't have to be as serious as Brett. Anyway, we were in Indonesia, and we were there before, we were about to move there in about 6 months' time. We're on our last survey trip, and I was driving around with my wife and one-year-old son, and we were looking at places to live, we were looking at language schools. And if you've ever been to Indo, you will know how crazy it is to drive around there. So anyway, each time we got in the car, we would always pray, and you pray a lot more when you drive in Indonesia than you do here, that God would protect us and that he would keep the police far from us, because they're a little bit dodgy. Anyway, we were driving along, and I was going to take a right-hand turn into McDonald's. You say, why are you going to McDonald's? You're in Indonesia, Luke. I love McDonald's. And I was very sick of eating rice, which is a bit of a problem when you're going to move there, because they only eat rice. But anyway, I was driving along, I went to make a right-hand turn into McDonald's and put my blinker on like a sensible white person does. And then as I went to turn, a guy from way back decided to take me on the wrong side of the road. Later on, I learnt this is totally normal in Indonesia, and you should look for the guy that's coming from the way back. Only later I learned. But unfortunately, as I turned into McDonald's, he came from all the way back, and then I heard thud, thud. And then I heard a man screaming. I had just run over a man in Indonesia. Not a good move. Within like seconds, there was 20 Indonesians around our car screaming at me in Indonesian, which I didn't understand at the time. Would have been great if it was later, I would have. But anyway, and I just happened to be lucky enough as well to do it right next to one of those police boxes. So within seconds, there's police there. They've got my keys. They've got my rego. We're freaking out. I have my one-year-old son and my wife with me. I'm thinking Bali 9 jail. I'm thinking I'm coming to visit. People are yelling at me. We are shaken. And I just start to pray. Well, it was more like a cry out to God. God, do whatever it takes to get me out of here, and I am on the first plane out of here, never to return. So I'm there, we're shaken, I'm crying out to God, and just then, it went quiet. And an Indo guy came up to me and started speaking English to me and explained to me the weird rules when you crash your car in Indonesia. And, oh, the guy didn't die, by the way. I forgot that bit. He had a few injuries, and I paid for all the injuries because that's what you do in Indonesia. But about 2 hours later, because of this guy that came to help us, we drove away. Now, afterwards, I was sitting up at the youth centre in Bali, and it overlooks Bali, and still quite shaken. And I asked my wife, Michelle, I said, where was God in all that? You know, we prayed, but we still had all this trouble. And she said to me, can't you see how God was working? One, I didn't kill the guy, added bonus. Two, he wasn't Balinese, which sounds strange, but it meant that they cared less. If he was Balinese, there would have been a lot more trouble, but because he wasn't, they cared less, which made it easier on us. Three, the guy that came and spoke to us in English and helped us out and got us out of there. Now, she was right, as wives sometimes are, that God was all over it, even though what had happened to me was my biggest fear about moving to Indonesia, and it was done. God had sorted it out, and he had looked after us the whole way. So in 3-6, Paul reminds us of exactly this, that we can rejoice in our suffering and persevere in our faith as it produces character and a hope, the hope that does not disappoint, because God has poured out his love for us through the way of the Holy Spirit, which comes from the great grace. So all that had happened to us that day, even though that we had prayed that if God got me out of there, I would be straight out of there, never to return, God used this to build us up, that we can see that he was always with us, and that great peace and joy comes with that, and that he will not disappoint no matter what the circumstance. And it really made me grateful for the love that he had poured out for me. And why should the people of Indonesia or the youth here at Ngawi not know this love as well? It's a challenge for us today to think about the love that we have been given through Jesus. Now, because we are Christians, we will suffer and life will be tough. Paul tells us that throughout Romans. But God never lets us suffer beyond what we can handle. And just as the Father disciplines his children, so does God discipline those he loves. And I always say to my wife, God must love me a lot. But we do become more reliant in those times of suffering. And I know that I am. Now, I do love these verses and I hang on to them often in my life. Paul reminds me that we will suffer in life when we live for Jesus. And it will take perseverance to keep living for Jesus, to keep seeking him for the strength that we need to go on, to pray, to make decisions that the world say are crazy, but we know God wants us to do. For us to persevere, it's going to build character. And I always ask my youth kids in G12 in the Sunday afternoon, it's one of my favorite things to do, I ask them, whose character do we want to be like? And they say, Jesus, like we're at Sunday school, but it's true. It is so true that we are persevering to seeking to be more and more like Jesus, that we want to have the characteristics of Jesus. Jesus is loving, he's kind, he's forgiving, he's wise, he's slow to anger, he's prayerful. Are we persevering and standing in the grace that God offers us so that we can build our character to be more and more like Jesus? Now, we have access into grace and hope, not only in this life, but the one to come, a truth that we are reminded in verse 6 to 8. You see, just at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his love, his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, I do just want to stop here and for us to think for a second what these verses are saying. How often do we come here, or how often already tonight have I said that Christ died for you? And how often do we just let it flow over us and mean nothing to us? How often do we continue to strive and live for this world, not putting Jesus first in our life? Just think of what he has really done for us. Are we living lives as he calls us to? Or are we taking it for granted and just sitting on the fact that we are saved? In Luke 8:16-18, he talks about the light and the lampstand and the jar in the corner. Is your light in the middle of the room for all to see? Or is it in the corner under the jar and you just let it out when it suits you? Just resting on the fact that you are saved and not sharing it with those around you. As we get into the last bit of the passage in 9 to 11, it says, "Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more being reconciled shall we be saved through his life? Not only in this, but also we boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we now have received reconciliation." I mean, this whole bit here gets me excited. I love this passage. I love hearing about what Jesus has done and that we are reconciled through God, even though we were still enemies with God. Not that we were just not his friends. We were his enemies. Yet he sent his son to die for us. Jesus' blood was spilt. God's wrath was turned away from us. Not just now, but when Jesus returns. And I don't know about you, but it's what I hold fast to. God did so much for me that it has changed me. And in this verse, it reminds us of how much God loved us, so much that he sent his son. And when I remember this and stand in God's grace, I cannot help but be changed and live for him. These are powerful words. And I hope tonight that you will let them impact your life. And that in 2016, it will be a year that you give God all of your life. I'm in youth ministry because I am passionate about youth knowing Jesus personally and living for him. And I'm not just talking about knowing the story of Jesus or having all this knowledge about Jesus, but truly knowing him for themselves. Now, in youth, and especially in youth, I find that grow up in the church, they know all about Jesus. They know all about what Paul is talking about here. They know all the stories. They have all the knowledge. But they have never really let themselves be changed. They have never let God personally into their lives. He's always been something that sits surface level. They never let Jesus really change them from the inside out. So my question is to you, are you sitting here knowing all about Jesus and have all the knowledge, but actually never let it really change you? And I mean change you personally from the inside out. Let it impact the way that you live, the way you make decisions. Can people see Jesus' love and characteristics in the way that you live? Please remember to rejoice and be thankful that God loves us, that we are reconciled with him, and that we can rest in this knowledge, even though that we are sinful, that we are weak, and that we constantly let God down. We can just turn to him and seek forgiveness, and he is there ready, welcoming us home. God has made things right through Jesus. What a blessing for us to remember as we start the year together. So as I finish, I want to challenge us to take some time right now. We're going to head into communion soon. And I want you to take some time reflecting on your own walk with God. It has nothing to do with anybody else. God wants personal relationship with you. So personally, I want you to think about your life. Where you sit with Jesus. Are you resting in the peace and joy that comes with having that relationship with him? And if you are, what are you doing with this great knowledge he has given you? Are you taking steps to support missionaries, pray for people, loving your brother and sister that sits beside you, signing up to get involved in one of those ministries? Or is he calling more from you this year? Is he asking you to take a step of faith into a new ministry, to share your life with someone new? Or do you just have all this knowledge and you never let it really change you? And will tonight be the night that you let it impact your life for eternity? Be wise with what God has given us in 2016. Praise him for unveiling our eyes to what Jesus did on the cross. Don't be like the man in the parable of the talent that hides it all in the sand. Go out there and share the great gift that God has given us to share. Don't let this world drag us into living for it. And start 2016 standing in God's grace, living for him. May he give us the grace and the power and the strength to live for him every day. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these great words, Lord. I pray tonight that your word will continue to speak to us as we leave this place, Lord, that it will impact us, that you will give us the strength to be more and more like you every day. We lift all this to you in Jesus' name. Amen.